Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Comedians Playing Fantasy Premier League podcast with me, Matt Ford.
And me, John Richardson. And we've finally reached the World Cup break, which means, of course, FPL is over and we don't have to talk about it anymore.
Well, let's just talk about it a little
now.
Bit.
Oh, come on, mate. Get with the program. Because you old fogies banging on about the past. Britain's moved forward.
Well, let's talk about the future then. I take an 8-6 lead into the future for the first time in FPL history.
Shrew.
I mean, this really has been, I drew level for the first time, history. Mm-hmm. Drew ahead for the first time, history. Extended that lead, history. It's now 8-6 to me. We should say later in the show, we'll be joined by comedian, Liverpool fan, and manager of No Baggage FC, Chris McCausland. But let's just dwell. 8-6 behind. And I think, John, you probably thought you were going to draw level this week.
No, I didn't. I knew from some weeks ago I wasn't going to win again this season. And I'll tell you why. My team is shit. It's just too much to do to change it. I've been trying to get Scamacca out for weeks. So I was very much limping to the World Cup break. I'll be honest with you. I checked the scores yesterday. I couldn't even remember making the transfers I've made. I don't even remember doing it. I knew I'd brought Kane in, because obviously Leeds were playing Spurs. And the other week when we played Liverpool, I brought in Joe Gomez. He was a disaster in the game. Yeah. Disaster FPL-wise, but obviously Leeds won, which was more important to me. And I thought, if I can have Eric Dier and Harry Kane, I thereby jinx Spurs and Leeds will win again. I tell you what, one horrifically bad refereeing decision away from at least a point there. What was a full-on assault on a Leeds United player.
The referee's fault again. The Leeds keep losing good the referees.
How did Forest do this week? And I think you won one, didn't you?
We beat Palace after beating Spurs in the cup on the back of almost beating Brentford and beating Liverpool. We are now third from bottom. We're a point from safety. The Reds go marching on. Leeds, though. Let's talk about two games. I genuinely thought you were going to beat Spurs, but oh boy, you didn't.
No, we didn't. We lost 4-3. Well, I mean, you've obviously watched the game. You saw the goal that was allowed. What's your view on it as I say neutral, a poisonous man who knows nothing about football, but nevertheless not a Leeds or a Spurs fan? What did you think?
I can't remember it. I watched Match of the Day in the morning in a kind of haze, so I don't really remember it.
Let me watch it now.
I'll tell you what, I'll give you my
honest... Watch it now. Go on.
Yeah. Who's the goal by?
I think it's Kane's goal. It's a challenge on the goalkeeper, Melier. What you're looking out for. Kane. Google Melier full assault, brackets, should be in prison, close brackets.
Here we go.
Referee incompetent.
Okay, so that's... I'm just looking at it now.
Yeah, this is we're live to Stockley Park now, where the VAR referee is watching the goal.
Hard because I'm watching it on what's it called? It's someone's camera phone footage. Someone's camera phone footage. Who is it who assaults him then? Ben, what's his flavour? The Welsh guy.
Hang on, I'm going to have to get it up now, aren't I?
Yeah.
Ilan Melier fouled. These are the headlines. The headline
Leeds.
On the publication I'm looking for, it's not a Leeds magazine, it's thisisfootball.com, the impartial guys at thisisfootball.com. Ilan Melier seemingly fouled in Tottenham Hotspur goal.
Seemingly.
And VAR made a big mistake in the most recent Leeds United match after not spotting a seemingly clear foul on goalkeeper Ilan Melier. Let me read you some of the quotes from pundits about this. He was bundled into, not my words, Lynn, the words of Michael Owen. Neil Warnock says, you cannot push lead star Ilan Melier while he's in the air. Not my words, Lynn, the words of Neil Warnock.
Which goal was it?
Are you going to keep challenging these people?
I've got Match of the Day up, just hold on. Which goal was it? Was it their first or their second?
Harry Kane's first, I think. Jeff Stelling and Tim Sherwood react to the injustice that hurt Leeds United at Tottenham. I mean, you can hear these words. Bundled, blatant foul, injustice.
Okay,
Now. Not my words, Lynn. The words of Tim Sherwood.
Okay, I'm just looking at it now. So the corner, it comes from a corner, doesn't it? So the corner's just been given, and the Spurs players, is it Ben Davies is the one I'm thinking of?
Can I read you the words of Tim Sherwood watching the game live?
Yeah, go on.
I don't know what Tim Sherwood sounds like. Sort of meek Cockney-y.
Yeah, so Savannah.
Is there any justice, Tim? Says Jeff Stilling. No, it's 1-1. It's brilliant. Harry Kane. Listen, they've knocked it down. It's a blatant foul, Jeff. All the boys have seen it. He just jumps into Melier. He knocks it down. Can't do anything other than that. It's a wonderful finish from Kane. Certainly looked like a foul on the goalkeeper. There's no doubt about that.
It's tricky. I mean, it's
not tricky.
Let me say this.
He tried to kill the man.
Shut up. Let me say this. We've had harsh decisions against us. I mean,
oh, is it the referee's cousin Forrest as
no,
well?
No, hold on. What I'm saying is, if we... If the penalty against Henderson has to stand, then that goal has to stand, because you're just like, it's a free-for-all now, isn't it? It's 50-50.
Well, no, it's not. It's a game in which officials are watching live and on screens. That's what it is.
Either way,
it's the richest game in the planet, and referees are watching literally from every angle. Soon there'll be a tiny referee inside the ball. I'd have gone the other way. Of course I would have wanted to stand. I'm a Leeds fan. But as a fan of football, and let me say, as a bigger fan of justice in general, as a bigger fan of good people getting rewarded for their actions, I think it's an absolute travesty, and I'd like to see that referee in The Hague.
Is that
an overreaction?
No. If you All right, then. Had that been the other way around, you'd be going, game's gone. You can't even back into a goalkeeper now. The game's gone. And back in the day, you got two-footed and not even get a yellow. Game's gone. You can't even stand next to a goalie these days.
That's not standing next to him. Practically ran him over. If he'd have been a car, if that footballer would have been a car, then our goalkeeper would be in hospital now. Yeah? Can you disagree with that? If he'd have been a plane, he'd have probably been dead.
Had
so you're laughing
player...
about the fact that if that Tottenham player had been a plane, our goalkeeper would be dead now.
Yes, I am laughing about that, actually. I find it
you
deeply
are
funny.
A real
it
piece
satisfies
of
me at night. Before I go to sleep tonight, as I settle into my pre-sleep routine, where I lash various potions and lotions across my body, the last thing, and it will make me smile as I'm carried to dreamland by angels, will be, if that guy would have been a plane, your goalie would be dead.
Isn't, two things. First of all, can you confirm the rumours that Nottingham Forest are in fact looking to sign a plane in January? It's one of the few options sort of available to them, having signed every living human on the planet, that now they are looking into whether a Boeing 737 up front might be a better option.
Don't need one, mate. Because we are on,
don't need one, mate. We are third from bottom.
We are on a winning streak, as you well know. We are on the up, up, up. You're on the down, down, down.
Second question about your pre-bedtime routine. You mentioned slathering lotions. Is it also not your pre-bedtime routine to order and consume two takeaways?
I forgot I told you this.
Yeah.
So Saturday, do the radio show and Forest have won. We're in
sure.
good spirits. Have a
you
couple
and
of
loyalty.
Beers. We have a couple of beers. And then I went to meet my friend Johnny for a couple of beers. So just, you know, I returned home. I'd worked it on the Sunday, but I returned home from a very satisfying night. Now, what I did, and I think you'll really respect this, is in the Uber on the way back, I ordered the takeaway so that by the time I got back, I wouldn't have to wait that long once I was at home level
for
food to arrive, right?
Love
Good
it.
Time management. Timed the run. Anyway.
But not only doing it on the way to your house, but sometimes I really love the fact I can order tea for Lucy from wherever I am. I can be on tour. If she's having a bad night, I can say, do you know what? I'm going to order you tea. The world is great. Some things about the world are awful, aren't they? But some things like that are great.
They are great.
So you're Ralphing in the back of an Uber, being generally belligerent, singing your own songs loud with your Forest flag waving out of the window. You've ordered your takeaway. What have you ordered?
I was probably listening to Enya, actually. But anyway, sat there listening to Enya. I've
take
ordered...
Takeaway,
takeaway, takeaway. ordered a chicken chow mein with chicken balls, sweet and sour sauce, crispy seaweed, and our old friend, the veggie spring rolls.
Didn't even know chickens had balls. Do you know, did I tell you my fact
about... very tasty.
Did I tell you my fact about crispy seaweed?
It's not seaweed.
It's not seaweed. It's kale.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Cool, isn't
it? I like kale.
Unbelievable. Oh, yeah, kale's lovely. But just front up, guys. Just call it crispy kale. Just call it what it is. Why are you pretending you've been out dredging the oceans up? You've been down Tesco like the rest of us.
Let's not get into truth wars.
Chickens haven't even got balls.
I know, but whatever they are, whatever animal they've been removed from, they taste incredible.
Did an egg really fry that rice, or did your chef do it?
God.
You're lying to me.
Okay. You're saying that I was being belligerent. I don't think I've got a patch on it. I was just sat there listening to Enya, probably breathing quite heavily. And I'd ordered a Chinese banquet. Mm. I was like, oh, I'll eat as much of that as I can physically manage tonight. And then in the morning, I will eat the cold leftovers. Yes. Mm. Anyway, I get in. And you know when you check on any of these apps like Uber or Deliveroo or whatever, and it's like, still saying like 20 minutes. I was like, it said 20 minutes 20 minutes ago. So I'm looking at the icon. Now, I had this issue with Uber Eats a few weeks ago where I'd ordered brunch in effect, but I had to leave the house and it was so late. It basically arrived just before it was an hour late and it was a nightmare. And the problem is you can't just cancel the order. You're just stuck. And I was like, mate, I'm not going to be here if you know, much later. Anyway, so this starts happening again. I was like, oh no.
Here we go.
No. So I was like, right, I'm going to pull the ripcord here. My local Pizza Hut delivers very quickly.
Mm. To you specifically, have you got some sort of insider deal? Fornies on the blower, lads. Get as usual ready. We've got a bike on standby.
I think it's just because I live quite close to it, and I guess alarmingly, maybe they're not that busy. Also, they start to slightly undercook the pizza anyway.
In a rush to get it to you.
Maybe.
Just show it the grill.
Anywho, I then order the Pizza Hut. I was just like, I'm starving. I need it now. So the Pizza Hut arrives. Bosh. Here we go. Oh, no. Literally the moment, and this icon hadn't been moving. Literally the moment my payment goes through for Pizza Hut, the bike starts to move. I was like, what? Anyway, I thought, well, it's not the worst situation to be in, is it? So then I just gorged the chow mein and the crispy seaweed, a few of the chicken balls, and then the pizza arrived. I was like, well, I can't not have any of it. So a couple of slices of that. Woke up and, oh my God, it was like someone had poured like salty cheese into my mouth. I woke up in the morning. You know, what do you, you know, the eye crud, like sleep. Or
sleep,
bed.
Yeah.
Sleep, yeah. I had the mouth version of that. You know what? Had I peeled my mouth, I think I could have peeled off a perfect shape of my lips.
Oh, my God.
Like a sort of oval-shaped ring of crud. Anyway, I go into the kitchen. I bite into one of the chicken balls, and in the middle of it, I thought, I don't think that's fully cooked.
Oh, anyway, God.
Polish the rest off. microwaved one slice of pizza. It wasn't that nice. It was too bready. It wasn't crispy enough, if you know what I mean. I like that pan pizza crispy base. And then I just put the whole thing in the bin, immediately took the bin out and tried to cleanse myself of that. But yes, I'd been a little piggy, so then I did an hour on the rowing machine that night.
That's
late. Penance.
There we go.
That was great.
The life of Matt Ford there. And your partner is away at this point, or just having to deal with you strutting around the house screaming at delivery drivers?
I wasn't screaming at anyone. I was very calm. You didn't get a peep out of me, pal.
There is no way that you've waited that long for a Chinese that you phoned a pizza and then the bus arrive and you don't say anything.
I didn't phone any of them.
Muttering away to yourself.
I didn't phone anyone. All app-based.
I'm a bloody good man, a first fan. I just want my Chinese. That's all I want. I'm bloody now. I've got bloody pizza on it. Absolutely bloody ridiculous what it is. Classic Tory government.
I didn't ring anyone. It was all app-based. I mean, if
I'm saying anything, you're chuntering to yourself. There's no way you're just silently, oh, well, hey-ho. Oh, not the worst situation to be in. Well, it's a good life. I'm glad to be alive. The weather's fine. I'm looking forward to Christmas. You are livid. You're f***ing unbelievable. I'm f***ing chicken pulse.
It wouldn't be that. It's more, I think I'm a whiny. I'm more whiny than that. I'd have gone, f***ing hell. Where is it? Come on.
Daddy.
Doing that. Oh, come on. You're kidding me. It would have been stuff like that. No.
Speaking of your whining, it's not the Brat Pack, but it's becoming increasingly like the Rat Pack. It's time for 4D's Sing-Along Stat Pack.
That's right. So who were the highest scoring players this week in FPL? In goal, it was War. Oh, do I sing it first?
You've got to sing a song to reveal the name of each player.
Okay. One. Ho! Good God, yeah. What is good for absolutely nothing?
Have you ever heard that song? They don't say ho.
War.
War. Ho. Go there.
I'm like,
war. Ho.
Isn't there lots of that in it?
Hi, ho. It's just her. It's her, ho. Not ho. Oh,
oh, come on.
You sound like you've got indigestion. Whoa, oh, good God, yeah, give me some Rennies. Oh,
in fact, you know, when I woke up from that pizza and Charmaine night, there were just Rennies and Gaviscon tablets all over the floor. I've clawed at my bedside table at 4 a.m.
And your partner's suitcase gone from the wardrobe.
So then, Liverpool's Robert. Oh, do I sing it first again? What, how'd it go?
Well, you've given it away now.
Oh, you? Roberts.
Good luck coming up with a song to do with Robertson anyway.
On Robertson. Robertson on the radio. Oh, Robertson on the radio.
Okay.
Andy Robertson. Mm-hmm. In the middle. Bally, 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 bally. Oh, ba-da-ba, ba-da-ba.
Do you know what I had a song there? Champagne Supernova.
Go on.
The Champagne Supernova. It's called Bolly, isn't it?
Yeah, go on.
Bottle of Bolly.
Oh, no. Oh, I see. I'm trying to get the actual names in.
Yeah, you take it where you want.
Okay. I didn't realise I could be
you could be creative, mate. Oh, okay. Yeah. And that advice goes for your whole career. You know, your radio shows, your other podcasts. You know, be creative. Your corporate work.
You. Final defender in the stat pack is Smith. Smith, the magic right back, plays by the sea.
Okay.
Smith plays at Bournemouth.
Yeah, that's good. Bournemouth rumoured to be seeking the guidance, the all-round revolution that is Marcelo Bielsa. Let me tell you, if that happens. If that happens. I can't work out if I'm going to be deeply upset by his betrayal or just glad to be in the same country as him again. At the moment, the second is winning. And I think I'd just be glad to think, if I want to, I can get in my car and go to wherever he is. I think that matters more to me now. At the moment, it upsets me that he's a plane away.
I liked it when I texted you going, oh, look, and you were like, he's not going to do that. And you were just in total denial.
Oh, well, I was certain he wouldn't. I just didn't think he would. But now it's getting ever more likely. The headlines have changed from, they're having interviews to they're in advanced discussions. And there's all this stuff about, because obviously his home club is Newell's, which is a coastal town in Argentina that plays in red and black. And all this stuff is getting in my head. He ain't going there, though, is he? Russian money. He's better than that. He'd only be going there to get near us again so that when Marsh goes, he can come back to Leeds. Right, guys?
I don't want you to be upset. But,
yes,
but equally, I do want to laugh in your face. And sometimes those two things are at odds with each other.
Right.
Okay, so the next player in the stat pack, we're into midfielders now. Taverney, yeah, tonight. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, that's right, Taverney. Yeah, okay.
Tavernier tonight.
Oh, he's doing it twice. Buying himself thinking time for Bentancur.
Bentancur, make you work hard, make you sweat hard, make you put the for love.
Okay.
Ericsson. Did you think that money was Ericsson?
Okay.
That was good.
Yeah.
So why don't we go somewhere where Rodrigo?
Oh, I like that. Yeah, I like that. Bit of keen. You've missed
the.
Missed
that before? I came across a midfielder.
Well, he's actually a forward. It's one of those FPL blips.
But he's actually a forward.
Player of the week, Arsenal's midfielder, you've yet to do.
Oh, dear God, how do you like it? How do you like it? Oh, dear God.
Oh, I like that. That's nice. That's your best one so far.
Yeah. And then up
two
front,
left, you'll be pleased to know.
You are the end beneath my ings.
Yeah, very nice.
And the Tony one I know has come to take me away.
Lovely. And how many points, if you'd picked that whole team, how many points would you have banked this week?
You'd have banked. I'm not sure it would have been financially possible. Oh, hang on. You'd have scored 132.
Yeah, that would have been all right, wouldn't it? Wouldn't have minded
oh,
that.
Oh, wouldn't that have been lovely, John? Wouldn't that have been lovely?
So obviously we're going into the World Cup break. Russell Howard now sits proudly atop the FPL League with a month off. He scored 44 points this week, hardly a vintage week. 941, got a lead of 8 points over Joe Wilkinson.
I scored more. I beat him this week. I scored 45.
Yeah, it's not really a score to brag about, though, is it?
Well, better than you.
Yeah, he's better. Well, only by four.
But it's still, you know, it's still better than you. Even
it
if
is,
it's better
yeah.
by one, it's better than you.
All right.
Suck
Harry
it
Enfield.
Up, buttercup. We are delighted to be joined by star of Live at the Apollo and manager of No Baggage FC, Chris McCausland. Chris, we had you on last season. Your team is called No Baggage FC. Why is that?
Well, if you remember last season, Matt, I basically stacked a lot of restrictions on myself in terms of the players that I was allowed to pick.
Yes.
Because of the amount of emotional baggage that I bring to this game. And so what I've done, I did very well last season. I think I finished like in the top few, you know. I think I was probably in the UEFA places, so to speak. Respectable finish for the amount of restrictions. So this year I've done the same thing. I've reflected my the weight of my restrictions in my team title. No baggage, not bringing any baggage with me. But unfortunately, all my go-to teams have had the most miserable first halves of the season. So when you're not picking from Chelsea, City, Tottenham, Arsenal, Man United, or Everton, that doesn't really make much difference, does it? But when you're not picking from a lot of the bigger kind of traditional top four teams or whatever, top six teams, my go-to teams are Leicester, West Ham, Aston Villa, you know, Liverpool, and none of them have had a great first half of the season, have they?
Oh mate, I feel bad.
Where
for
am
you.
I, mate? Where am I?
Well, it's called No Baggage, but you are placing so many restrictions on yourself. It feels like an ironic team name. It feels like you've got a lot of baggage.
Yeah, well, to be honest, I mean, no baggage because of the players I won't pick. And really what I realised this season is in order to achieve true non-baggageness, I sound like a mystic kind of sage here, don't I? But really, I should have no Liverpool players either because after our terrible start of the season, I clung on to Mo Salah like a...
You got 4 points for captaining Mo Salah. He's had good and bad weeks. There's a sort of sense that he's coming back to form, but Fordy and I, he has to have three Forest players. I have to have three Leeds players. That's obviously cost us. Yeah. Who would have known that having to have three Liverpool players would actually prove to be no more beneficial than our handicap? Liverpool's season has been awful. What's been going on?
Well, do you know, and as well, like because we rotate, I mean, the three bankers were Salah, Trent and Alisson, really. Yeah. And I mean, who'd have thought that me reserve goalkeeper Dean Henderson would have ended up with more points than Alisson? And I think I put Henderson in last week. I think I swapped him over the week before and then I took him out this week and he got more points again than... I don't know, mate.
You put him in last week. I mean, you had an exceptional week last week, let's be honest, because Salah scored you 30 points. You scored 88 last week. And that included bringing in Dean Henderson for zero. You took him out this week. He scored 6 and Alisson scored 3.
I mean, this is what you call in the business is I'm having a bit of a Matt Ford, aren't I?
Don't you dare. Because I have turned things round.
You are 100 points behind Matt Ford.
Am I 100 points behind
97.
Matt Ford?
Let me tell you, you're fourth bottom. You're ahead of Ramesh Ranganathan and Josh Widdicombe, but you're also ahead of an even less successful manager by the name of Chris McCausland. with his team, no changes, FC.
I mean, this is a little bit like when Taylor Swift took all the top 10 places in the chart, isn't it? Except I'm taking two of the bottom four places in the comedians playing fantasy football league. So, listen, what happened is I did my team the same as last time. And then I'm doing fantasy football on Sky this year. And they said, oh, no, you've got to use our account. So I had to do a separate team. But I have as we all do, I have a few little leagues with mates and stuff, which I'd set up. So I had to leave my other team going. So I thought, well, I'll call it no changes and I won't touch it for the whole season. And until about 2 weeks ago, there was literally about 15 points in it between the team I'm changing every week through intelligent analysis of player performances and the team I just left to die. And it's only in the last couple of weeks I've actually started pulling away from me dead weight team, you know. I mean, it's just a horrific season, isn't it, really, in terms of this amount of restrictions I'm placing on myself. But I'd rather die by my sword. I'd rather have morals, guys, you know, and just be an abject failure.
You sound a bit like John.
So who's doing the best out of you two guys so far this season?
Well it's tricky because week by week I'm ahead now, 8-6, but John's ahead of me in the league, but not by much, John.
No, it's down to the lead now is down to 9 points, which just proves, God, I think, Chris, what a bad season it's been for those of us who know what we're doing, you know, in terms
absolutely.
Of
absolutely,
and it really is a season for the morons and the chances.
You see, I mean, when I ask you how you're doing, I ask you because I don't know. Because when I was doing well last season, I was all over this. I was checking the league every week. And I'll be honest, but this morning was the first time I'd looked at. some considerable time because I just looked to see where I was because, you know, when you're doing badly, you try, you know, ignorance is bliss, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
For Liverpool, it's been a tough season because we've had a lot of injuries. We've got some players that seem to dissolve in rain, made of crisps. We've got, you know, Thiago. I mean, he cuts himself shaving. He has to have a couple of weeks off, doesn't he?
You famously lost within the space of a couple of weeks to Nottingham Forest and Leeds, who I'm sure you've checked the Premier League table, you know, not doing very well. How was that? You're speaking to two people who obviously found that delightful. How was it as a Liverpool fan?
It's one of the, I mean, we've done very well lately, Liverpool. So to say it's typical Liverpool isn't necessary. It's not genuinely true, but it's typical historically that when we are having a bit of a troubled patch, you know, over seasons gone past, we will do well against the big teams and then just, you know, throw that gain away against, you know, someone at the bottom of the table. And I mean, I can't remember how it ran. Who did we play straight after City? Was it, who was it then? But we beat City, didn't we? And then
that was Forest first, I think. Forest,
yeah,
got
and then
first.
Threw it all away to, you know. So it kind of just, I mean, it basically means that you've kind of, you know, the gain has gone, hasn't it? And I think, you know, we've had a really good few seasons. It's been fantastic with Klopp. But over seasons gone past when we have had these kind of inconsistent patches, that has been a trait of it really, hasn't it?
Klopp out. We'll have him.
No, you're all right. I think we're very happy. We'll see who we get as owners. I mean, it was awful when I saw we're up for sale. I don't want to, I think Klopp is a man of certain morals, political, socially, you know, and whether he'll stick around if we end up owned by some kind of oil state or something. We'll see what happens with that. Like, but I think on Merseyside, there's only one manager that'll be leaving anytime soon.
Fingers crossed.
Are you excited about the World Cup?
I know, mate. I mean, honestly, I just don't give a shit.
Is that because you don't give a shit about England, or just is it this specifically this World Cup?
I've never been. Do you know? Okay, I've never been into friendlies. I find that friendlies get in the way of the Premier League, And unfortunately, this World Cup just feels like a load of friendlies, doesn't it? It feels like they've just gone and put a tournament worth of friendlies in the middle of a season. And I mean, technically, like, we could do with the break. We could do with resetting. We've got 7 players, I believe, playing in the World Cup. City have got 17. That means that they've got more than double the chance of some of their key players coming back injured.
So actually, you should be all in favour of it.
Yeah, so from that point of view, I think it might be, you know, statistically, we've got a good chance of coming out of this on a little bit more momentum than, you know, maybe this could be the Rocky, the Hulk Hogan comeback, you know, where we get up off the canvas and we shake our fists and, you know, but as a World Cup, I always get into the World Cup. And I always get into it when there's football on during the day. And because I just like, you know, I like the other games as well. I liked it when everyone was in it from the home nations a few years ago. With it, I can't remember if that was the Euros or what. It was the Euros, wasn't it? With, you know, when Wales were in it and that. So maybe I'll get drawn into it. But, you know, politically and socially, it's a horrific place to have put the tournament. Just in terms of football as well. I mean, you know, it's like, oh God, God knows what it's like. It's like, you know, I mean, giving the World Cup to Qatar, like, who've got zero football history, is, I mean, I don't know what it's like. It's like letting me host a bloody Formula One tournament, isn't it?
How bad's your human rights record?
When I can't drive a Mini. go on.
How about your human rights record?
My human rights record. do you know what? I did fantasy football on Sky the other week, and I comedically referred to Chelsea fans as being scum. Oh, not Chelsea fans, sorry, Chelsea as being scum, and received a torrent of abuse on Twitter for my treatment of the community that is known as Chelsea fans.
Oh God!
But what they failed to grasp, I think, was the comedy behind it. Whereas I was actually mocking my own restrictions, as I have just done with you guys, in terms of you know, I can't pick from Chelsea, scum. I can't pick from United, double scum. I haven't seen the edit. I think they might have taken the United bit off and just left it as Chelsea, because I didn't hear a peep from United fans.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's either that or Manchester United fans are sort of just calmed down and are quite happy with what's going on at the moment. And,
yeah, unless they're watching it and going, ah, yeah, he's right, we are a bit, aren't we?
They got bigger fish to fry tweeting Cristiano Ronaldo at the moment. I think you're off the hook. You would have to go some to be more hated by Manchester United fans,
I mean,
than him at the moment.
It's a double-edged sword, this, isn't it? I'm so intrigued to see the full interview of what he said, but it does mean having to sit through a couple of hours of Piers Morgan.
I think, as a comic, I'm trying to think back to, I remember a Christmas gig in a converted strip club in Bournemouth where I went full Cristiano Ronaldo. I was like, I'm not coming on. No way. I was comparing. I went out and did the first 10. They hated me so much.
Yeah.
I said, what I'm going to do, I'm going to say the name of the act, and that's all I'm going to do for the rest of the night. I'm going to tell you who's coming, and I'm not going to.
Where was that?
Bournemouth, a club called Twisters.
Okay. I did Junglers in Portsmouth once, and I was doing half an hour at the end. I didn't have like a bad gig. Like, they weren't booing me or actively hating me. They were just so indifferent to the fact that I was there that I got to about 16 minutes in, and I just kind of wrapped up and went. And I set my timer to let me know when I had like 5 minutes left, you know, so it vibrates on me wrist, so I know, like, I'll start wrapping up. And you know, you've had a bad gig when your watch vibrates, you know, you've got 5 minutes left and you're paying for the car parking.
Last time I gigged in Portsmouth, a fight broke out, like a serious fight that derailed the whole thing. It was near Christmas, and a fight broke out because one bloke said it was too hot and another bloke said it was too cold.
Oh my goodness.
They were like, turn the aircon off, and someone's going, it's freezing in here, it's too hot over here. And they just had like this massive rumble, like a mad brawl. It was great.
Oh, do you know what? I mean, you couldn't win sometimes at those Christmas gigs. Like, I did Cardiff once, and everyone was sat there in coats. It was so cold. And they get these boil-in-the-bag Christmas dinners that they paid 30 quid for or whatever. And I remember having one. And I remember eating it going, oh, this stuffing's a bit funny, isn't it? And they went, no, that's a sprout. I was like, you're joking.
Yeah.
So, you know, everyone's in a foul, freezing mood before you've even gone on. And then you've got to try and make them laugh after that, haven't you?
It's what you want when you're dealing with an audience who've probably never been to comedy before is to get them leathered and pissed off. That's give yourself the best chance. What we're saying here is the South Coast is not a safe place. If Marcelo Bielsa is listening, Bournemouth, just down the coast from these places we're talking about, you will not be safe there. You're better off staying where you are.
Can I just ask you a couple of questions about this Twisters thing, John? So why were you refusing to go on? What was so bad about it?
I was comparing and they just I would have taken ambivalence, Chris. I would have absolutely loved just a sort of tedious silence. They were just talking, shouting, not listening, jeering. I couldn't calm them down. The great thing about comedy is that no matter how good you get, when things go badly, it's like you've never gigged before. So all the experience leaves you and you make the same mistake you've been gigging for 20 years. And I tell you now, if I die tomorrow, I will jump to my final punchline straight away without having done the setup, because that's what I always do. And then instead of doing the thing that people tell you to do when the audience is talking, you go quieter and you force them to come to you. What I will do is I will scream in my shrillest voice. It's really hard if you're not listening to me. I can't. So I just need you. If everyone who can hear me can just say shush, and then we can start again, because I'm quite good at this. And you just become a screeching moron. So I that's what I would.
I know you don't like me. That's absolutely fine. But I'm obliged to create an atmosphere for that.
And then I would just go, ah, f*** it. You've got three acts. I'm going to say their fucking names. And then the rest of the gig, I'm going to be back there because I'm not losing my money. So I'm going to do what I need to get paid for having to sit in front of you objectionable pricks. And I'm going to say the name of the act and I'm going to go. And I remember Lucy Porter was one of the acts. And I've never, you know that little bit, I always think, you know, when an act comes on and you see like they'll do a little handshake and whisper something to each other.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time it's to sort of look cool. It's sort of look like, oh, we're the gang. I grabbed her by the hand and I said, I'm so sorry to do this to you, but I cannot get these pricks to listen. So I'm waiting. The minute you want to come off, I will be ready to come back on and introduce the interval. But you do as well as you can, mate. And I have absolutely let you down here.
She smashed it. Did 40 minutes.
Yeah, she encored. I have had that.
Did you ever
before.
Do Sway in London?
No. Oh, God.
There was a club in a place called Sway in London, and it was the most horrific gig. I remember walking into the room and the person who was on before me was just waiting to see me appear before they said goodbye. And I remember, I always remember, because I obviously can't see what the room looks like, but I always remember Michael Fabry saying to me, because I don't know things until people point out, give me the information, you know. So I built this picture of what the room's like in my head, and Michael Fabry just said to me, I don't think I should ever have to do a gig in a room where I can see a man cooking a chicken.
Oh, he's so funny.
Oh, my goodness.
So we're discussing horrific places. Let's not make your life out to be a miserable traipse around horrific gigs. You were doing a show for Channel 4 at the moment called Wonders of the World, where you literally travel around the world seeing the best things. How's that been?
Yeah, so we filmed it. We're just putting the finishing touches to the edit at the minute. So it's going to be under the new year. Basically the point of it is I'm blind. So what's the point of me going to look at these things where people go all the way over there to look at a thing, go to look at a building? Woo. So the idea is that each episode, a different comedian kind of takes me around and proves to me that it was worth getting off my arse and that there's more going on there than just looking at the thing. So
didn't get the call.
Huh?
Bit awkward, mate.
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know if Fordy got the call. I didn't get asked if I want to take you to the Eiffel Tower or, you know, Orlando Studios.
Yeah, no, mate. I mean, to be honest, I've asked you about things in the past and you've told me no, mate, so I've just got bored of asking.
Yeah, you sent me the shit stuff. Do you want to do a charity gig in Liverpool?
Yeah, you didn't
Fuck
want to do
that.
Grimsby, did you, mate?
Yeah, come on, mate. I'm not driving on a Wednesday night for 80 quid, but I don't mind flying around the world to have a laugh.
Yeah, well, the idea is because I'm the negative one, we need somebody with a little bit of positivity about them, mate, you see, so it's...
not your man.
But though did the Acropolis with Harry Hill and Rome with Tom Allen and Niagara Falls with Lisa Tarbuck and Jordan with Gus Kahn. And it was loads of fun filming it. And then I'm quite heavily involved in the edit, which is the most boring, dull experience.
Oh yeah.
I can't watch myself on the telly. And when I'm on the telly, they're all the best bits that people thought were worth putting on the telly. But when you're sitting through an edit and you're seeing all the bits that will never make it onto the telly and you have to watch yourself laugh over and over again, you're like, is that what I sound like when I laugh? Oh my God. It's torturous.
And when's it on?
It'll be on like January, February, somewhere around there. So we haven't got a date for it yet. It's hopefully early on in the year, and because my tour goes until May, so I could do with something to help sell the Shepherd's Bush Empire, you know. And do you know what? As well, because I've got this bit in my tour in my show at the minute about Mo Salah, and it's been killer. It's been a proper banker within the show, and but it relies on him being amazing, and he's had such a terrible patch that I had to start making excuses for his performance for me to be able to do the joke. and every time he has a good game and he scores a couple of goals, I think I'm the only person delighted that he's played well purely to keep him in the show.
So when's the Shepherd's Bush Empire?
Shepherd's Bush Empire in May. Brilliant. Yeah. And that'll be the end of the... that'll be the end of the tour, really. But it's ended up... I mean, it's just growing and growing, so it's...
I can see your dates now. It's a hell of a tour. I speak as a man on tour, but you are properly getting around and about. You usually say, catch Chris on tour, he'll be in a town near you. But I'm looking at this, he'll probably be sort of next door. I mean, there isn't a sort of town you're not going to. I'm looking at some of the dates, and there's very few venues that I don't remember a story about dying.
Oh, mate. Well, good luck at the Shepherd's Bush Empire. We can't wait to see the new show on Channel 4, and we'll come and see you on tour.
Oh, mate, thanks very much for having us. And you never know, if you get me back on in the new year after the World Cup, maybe I will be on the climb. Yeah, maybe.
Did we, we said we were going to send you Pringles last time when you beat us. Did we actually do it?
Yeah, it was, you know what it was? It was a, I didn't even know such a thing existed. It was what do you call them? An advent calendar of Pringles.
Ah, yeah.
It was a huge box with little shelves in it, and behind each door was one of those little 40-gram kind of airplane kind of size.
Oh,
once you get on an airplane, the Pringles. But the weight of the Pringles inside it, just the integral structure of the calendar couldn't support the weight of the Pringles. So it really just became like a tombola of random... You just had to make a hole in it and put your hand in and see what you pulled out.
Well, there's a line to end on. If ever there was a line to end an interview, just make a hole in it and stick
Cheers,
your hand
Chris.
In. Cheers, Thank guys. You very much, Chris.
John, I've got some exciting news.
You're retiring from comedy and emigrating.
No, even more exciting than that. We are going to release our very own CPFPL podcast beer with Kirkstall Brewery, and we've asked our listeners to send in their suggestions for what it should be called, and like Erling Haaland, they have delivered. So, we've got a name for our new beer. Can you remember what it is?
It's CPFP Hellas. It's a real quench boost.
I can't believe this is so cool that we've got our own beer. CPFP Hellas, a real quench boost, will be released soon by Kirkstall Brewery and will be giving some away as prizes to listeners and another slice subscribers. And we might even get some paraphernalia made up of beer mats and bar towels. This is the dream come true. Now, as we know, Kirkstall are known for their delicious cask beers like Three Swords and Dissolution, as well as modern hoppy beers like Virtuous and Judicious, and CPFP Hells will be no different. We've got our own beer! As well as brewing great beer, Kirkstall also have some of the best pubs in Yorkshire, like the Kirkstall Bridge Inn and the Cardigan Arms in Leeds, the Sparrow Inn in Bradford, and their own tap room at the brewery on Kirkstall Road. You can get 20% off everything with the code CPFPL20. Just visit the website, kirkstallbrewery.com, click on shop, and enter the code for 20% off everything with the code CPFPL20. And oh my God, coming to market soon, our own beer, CPFP Hell's A Real Quench Brew. Can you imagine? I mean, is it the most egotistical thing in the world to get drunk on your own beer?
It would be worse if it was called, like, 40.
I got drunk on our own show. I've had 5 pints of me.
Getting high on your own supply.
Oh, I can't wait to taste it.
That's all we've got time for this episode. We'll be back later in the week with another.
Yes, and remember, we have already launched on anotherslice.com the perfect Christmas present where you get bonus, unheard, extra content. And... what?
Well, don't get me wrong. I work on this podcast and I'm fond of it. I would be f***ing livid if someone got me a subscription to this podcast on Another Slice. So, you know, if you enjoy our work, subscribe, but don't get your mum a subscription to this podcast for Christmas. I didn't know what to get you, Gran. So here's 2 hours of a load of tossers talking about times of shit themselves.
What I meant was, you're such a sour little... What I meant was, as a little treat to yourself. You know, sometimes when you treat yourself.
Because
it's Christmas, just treat yourself to Another Slice subscription.
Yeah, cancel that second takeaway and subscribe to anotherslice.com.
Exactly. Go to anotherslice.com/CPFPL for details. There's already 4 exclusive episodes on there you won't be able to get anywhere else ever. And there are monthly FPL prizes. And there will be exclusive World Cup content on there when the tournament kicks off. Email us, hello@CPFPL. Tweet us, @ComediansFPL. And as John said, find us on Instagram. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.